Let me remind you, come on back tonight. We'll have a great time. And it's a wonderful time just to slow down. Maybe you've ever had in your life, it doesn't feel like Christmas today. I was saying to the first service, you never think, it doesn't feel like gravity today, or it doesn't feel like, it's just, Christmas is, it's a reality. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I'm glad you're here today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the great joy it is to be your child. Thank you, Lord, that the light has shone into a dark place. We thank you, Lord, that light has been shown into our own hearts, showing us our need for you and your love for us. We thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen. I want you to imagine that you're in an airplane and it has engine trouble, and you're in a small plane, and ultimately it goes down in the middle of deepest, darkest Africa, or middle of Australia, or Amazon Basin. Fortunately, there's a grass field, and the expert pilot is able to land, and you get out, and now you're stuck. And out from the bush come some Aboriginal folk. Now, they've never seen an airplane before. And you immediately take out your iPhone. And amazingly, you got enough bars, and you're going, whoa, I got cell out here in the middle of Africa or Amazon. And on there, you got GPS, and it tells you where you're at. And on there, you say, well, Fred over here, looks like he broke his arm, and you say, well, how do I fix a broken arm in Africa? You got all that stuff. And these natives come from the jungle, and they've never seen such a thing. They go, wow, that's like Miss Magic, right? No, you just have a smartphone. For myself, I think at times the phone is smarter than I am. Sometimes stuff happens to it, and I have to ask my kids and say, hey, listen, could you figure this out? And then without even thinking, here you go, And so it makes me feel, that maybe God provided that just so my kids feel like they're smart, I don't know. But here's the thing, is that there's some information that is pretty important to have, and some information that I know that we've been blessed with, that many, many people on this planet, they haven't received it or haven't gotten it. Today, in Lake County, maybe on a normal Sunday, about 5% of the population will be in a church of any kind. Maybe today that number jumps up to 10%. I don't know. It won't be any higher than that. And I often wonder if our neighbors who live in this county, who aren't here today, if they understand the good news of Jesus Christ, if they understand the true reason for the season. And some might say, well, it's not that important, It's just a baby born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. What's the big deal? When I read the Bible, and it's the biggest deal, right? Pretty important information to have. And came across this story. There was a family who had no interest in spiritual things. In fact, no one had gone to church in their family for generations, three generations. But their son, who was in elementary school, was invited to a church Christmas program. And he went, and his parents said, yeah, you can go, Let us know what you think. So he went, and he came back and reported to his parents the experience. He got home. He was very excited and eager to tell them what he had seen. Here's what he says. Well, way back then, they didn't have any Santa Claus, but they had some skinny guys riding around on camels giving out gifts. And they didn't even have Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer, to guide them through the darkness. But they did have a star that some people saw and followed. Now, that's, I'm not sure if that's made up, but you know, it doesn't have to be. I can imagine somebody, if they've grown up, and Christmas was about the buying and receiving of gifts, and it's about elves and about Santa and about Rudolph. You know, who doesn't like the story of Rudolph? I think it's quite a nice story. You know, because there's been times that I wasn't invited to the reindeer games. You know, and maybe you yourself. But if someone, if that's all they ever have ever known, and they've never truly known or even been confronted with the reality of the reason for the season. That's the good news. The good news of Christ that we have the privilege of bringing to Lake County. Here's my belief. That most of our neighbors are not anti-church, and they're not anti-Christian or anti-Christ. I think many of them have not heard the truth well. And they've not seen it lived out. I've seen maybe the the packaging system for the good news is was in a mean and flawed, angry Christian. Or a mean and flawed, angry pastor. Don't know. Maybe the only gospel they heard was turning on the television and some person saying, hey, give us money and your life will be all fine. Yeah. Don't know. But here's what I do know is the greatest, one of the greatest privileges that I have and that we all have is to be bearers of the good news. And that's quite a responsibility. Some of you here, well, most of you here work, okay? And some of you actually run businesses. And if you run a business and you send a crew of people out and they're rude, leaving cigarette butts around and being swearing and not showing up on time and ripping people off, doesn't it reflect upon you as the owner? Doesn't it upset you? Like, wow, I mean, I'm probably going to fire that person because they're not representing my good business. So part of it is this, is that God is so gracious to us, is that and He's patient with us. But down deep, what the real Lord really wants at Christmas time is, I think, for us to pause and reflect that as Jesus was the light of the world, He has called us to be the light also. Several of us went on Friday night to Spring Hill Community Church in Santa Rosa. They did a live nativity scene. Now, why would we go to that? Because we had nothing else to do. You know, Jason and Joel and Laura and I, we just have nothing to do, so we'll decide to go to Santa Rosa on a Friday night. That was not preached. That's right. That didn't happen. But I'm glad we went. Because here's really where my heart, you need to know the heart of your pastor and your brother in Christ. I'm just not satisfied with the number of people in Lake County who have truly been able to hear the good news of Christ. I liken it to a nut that I'm trying to crack. Some nuts are pretty easy to crack. Peanuts, pretty easy, right? Walnut, pretty easy. In fact, the walnut, God created it. It's got a line. Crack it right here. Easy, right? But there are some nuts that are tough. Macadamia nut, tough. But you know that somebody figured out in Hawaii how to crack a macadamia nut and it comes out perfect. They figured it out. And here's what I want to figure out. How do I get access to the soul and the heart and the struggle of people in Lake County? How do I bring them close to Jesus? I can't make them Christian. I can't make them believe. But I can present the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. And so we went because we're contemplating doing here at this church a live nativity scene. All of you would need to participate in some way, some Roman soldiers, some Mother Mary, you know, some would be whatever it may be. You know, you're selling, we decorate the whole place into making it look like Bethlehem. And we need people who know how to take care of goats and sheep, and we need to get a hold of a couple of camels, you know. Now, I understand there's some camels up on Cobb Mountain, but I found also that they're sacred. They're sacred camels. So we probably wouldn't be able to use them. Maybe somebody here says, you know what? I'm going to buy a camel. I'm going to take care of it. And then the church can use it. If anyone wants to sign up for that, talk to Pastor Jason, you know. There you go. We found out where we can rent camels. Why would we do something like that? Because we got nothing else to do? No, because we're trying to figure out how to crack the nut. We need to be in proximity to those people. The Bible says they're walking in darkness, and they don't even know it. I want them to see the light of Christ. Well, the nativity scene 2,000 years ago had a cast of characters. We'd have to fill that cast of characters. The most important character is God, and we're going to let God just play himself, all right? It's always a good thing. Let God be God. Don't try to be God yourself. I know people who have had a God complex, and doesn't go well. And so we'll let God be God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We'll need to find Mary and Joseph. Now, Mary and Joseph, they were faithful people. They were waiting. They knew the Messiah would come. And they showed their faithfulness that God spoke to them, and they actually acted and responded in obedience. They were inconvenienced by what God called them to do. And we'll talk about that in a moment, about divine inconveniences. We probably won't find a Caesar Augustus, because Caesar Augustus was kind of in the background, and he just said, hey, I need to build a road to the Black Sea or to wherever, so I'm going to have a census so I can figure out how much more money I can raise. Or I'm going to do a bullet train from Sacramento to... No. You know, that's what the government can do. They can say, well, we're going to cause more taxes and go to a census. We'll figure out what you owe. So he didn't even know he was being used by God. We'll have to find some angels. I realize that for some of you, it would be typecasting completely. Others, it would be a step up. You know, I get to dress up like an angel, you know. I know when I was a kid, I'm sure at least once, my grandmother said, what a little angel I am. And that it didn't last long. All right. So we'll find angels. And can you imagine how radical it was for the angels? They're in heaven. I don't know if they understood everything, because the Bible says that they longed to look into what's going on in our lives. But I guarantee you they understood, wow, this is big time. The Messiah's come. He'll be born in Bethlehem. Let's go sing about it. We probably need to find an innkeeper, and I think he gets bad press, you know. There's no room in the inn. You know, he just was kind of laying it out there. Now, he could have given them his room, right? Maybe if he understood who it was, but he wasn't thinking outside the box. He did say, you could stay out in the manger And that was literally a cave. If you've ever been to Jerusalem, I actually think the place that they take you of that where the manger was is probably as accurate as anything that is out there. It's these mangers were a cave structure where they could bring animals in at night. It says, there's no room in the inn, but you can stay out in the manger. You can stay out there. It's like a barn that's like a cave. We'd find some wise men. Doesn't say how many, but they came from afar. It just reminds me that God so loved the world. He even loved the Parthians, because that's probably what the wise men were. They came from Persia. They were astrologers. They were trying to figure out their way, and somehow they knew that was predicted that a Messiah, a king, would be born, a king of the Jews, and they followed that star. We may find a Herod, but no one would want to play Herod, you know. One of the most wicked, powerful men that's ever been on the planet. He was so threatened by it that he would destroy and kill male children in and around Bethlehem. You had the cast of characters of the priests, and those are the guys I really like to just shake, because, friends, they knew the word and they had the word, and they wouldn't move. Why weren't they there at Bethlehem? But the biggest crowd and cast of characters that we found that day was really the rest of the world that just slept that night as Christ quietly entered history. We want to look at the miracle that happened to Bethlehem in the moments we have the rest of this sermon. Let's turn to Luke chapter 2. We'll read together verses 1 to 7. Before I read that, I got to tell you a story. I mentioned earlier, you know, Sue and I had the discussion earlier in the week. Boy, it doesn't feel like Christmas, you know. I don't know what it's supposed to feel like, but Christmas is, you know. So I had to step back and say it's not about a feeling. It's about of dealing with the truth and reality of Christmas should be impacting me. I made the choice of my own soul to go to the dollar store yesterday, knowing that by going into the dollar store, I would be entering into some kind of chaos and confusion. I purposely chose not to go to Kmart because I just couldn't handle that day. But dollar store, I went in, and there was the wrapping paper. And who wants to spend a lot of money on wrapping paper, because you're just going to throw it in the fire? So I thought, if I can get wrapping paper for 99 cents, I need 6 rolls, I will have saved myself a lot of money, and it's worth the trouble. So I got in there, and there's this massive humanity in the dollar store. I saw my wrapping paper. I grabbed it. I grabbed a couple bags of bows and some little things. I'm waiting in line, long line. And the guy in front of me, the guy's got 100 cans of tamales, you know, and little Debbie's things. And so I'm waiting patiently, and I'm thinking, you know what? I'm a Christian. I'm a believer in the Lord. I got my wrapping paper, praise Jesus. And I want to be filled with joy here today in the dollar store. So I'm waiting, and I'm thinking in my mind, boy, they should open some more check stands. That would make it better, right? And ultimately, they opened one up, and I was the next person in line, and I knew they were going to say, next person in line, and immediately someone cuts in front and takes my spot. And the checker goes, excuse me, sir, but are you the first person in line? And I knew that he was not. I was. I should have been there. And the guy goes, he looks over at me like, I don't know. And I said, sir, to the checker, I was first in line. But I told the guy, go ahead. I didn't do that. I had my life flashed before me in a moment. Because I stand up here every Sunday and I can preach the word, and I've been doing it for 40 years. But here's what we all need help with. It's easy to preach the word. It is more challenging to live out the word. And I didn't want to have like some superior attitude. Here's this guy. And I said, go ahead. I was going to say, well, Merry Christmas. No, I didn't even say that. I just said, you go ahead. Because here's the thing about Christmas. If it hasn't changed us, then what's the purpose of it? If you haven't allowed Christ to change you, then that's how we celebrate each and every day. When someone cuts you off, or when you have the choice to be kind or unkind. And so, I mean, I'm not bragging on myself, because ultimately I was struggling inside. You know, this guy's ripped me off. You know, I should be first in line. Am I still 14? Nothing wrong with 14-year-olds. You're all fine. But I know this, at age 14, I struggled with a lot of all kinds of stuff, as we all did. The Lord is telling me, Gary, you got to grow up. You got to see the big picture. I came to be the light of the world. I want you to be the light also. And I'm going to send you into Dollar Store or even Kmart sometime, and I want you to act like a Christian. All right? Act like me. All right, back to the sermon. Now, it came about in those days that the decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census should be taken of all the inhabited earth. This is the first census taken by Quirinius while he was governor of Syria. And all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee to the city of Nazareth to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem because he was the house and the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. It came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in cloth, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So we'll stop there. We see this is that we have the glory of God, a large God, coming to a small people. You know, Bethlehem was an insignificant place other than it was the city of David. They were sent because of the decree of Caesar Augustus, and he didn't even know that he was going to be being used by God. Now, God could have sent an angel to tell Joseph, oh, by the way, I want you to go to Bethlehem because that's where the baby should be born. But for whatever reason, he uses the decree of Caesar Augustus. The birth of Christ would affect Caesar. The birth of Christ would impact the angels. The birth of Christ would impact the activities of common people. And it surely impacted the life of Joseph and Mary. And here's what it provided, one way to look at it, to Joseph and Mary, what I call it a divine inconvenience. Now, if you've ever been to Israel, and you've ever been to Nazareth, which is up in the hills in Galilee, it would be the equivalent, Nazareth, is if you had your home on Cobb Mountain. Okay? Up in the hill, down below, is the Sea of Galilee, which you can see. That's about the distance. Come down Bottle Rock, and that's about how it was. But he's got to go from the top of Cobb Mountain, not to Galilee, to the Sea of Galilee, but he's got to go all the way to Bethlehem with a pregnant fiancée. So it would be the equivalent of going from Cobb Mountain down and then riding on a donkey from here to San Rafael, maybe Novato. That's about the distance. It would take many days. Now, obviously I've never been pregnant. I've seen pregnant people, pregnant women. My mom was pregnant. But she moved from the house to Hillside Hospital December 31st, 1956, and that's where I was born. Got in the car, got there. I would imagine the inconvenience of saying, well, why do I have to get all the way to Bethlehem? Because that's what the prophecy was. Now, God, who can do anything, he can do one of those and the whole universe exists. You know, he can calm the seas, he can whatever. He could have sent golden chariots, right? That would have been very impressive. Okay, get in the golden chariot in Nazareth and boom, it gets right to Bethlehem. He could have done what he did for Philip, who got beamed from Caesarea to the plains outside of Gaza to see the Ethiopian eunuch. But for whatever reason, God says to Joseph, I want you to take your betrothed who's with child, put her on a donkey or in a cart or wherever it may be. You're going to go 90 miles and you're going to get there to Bethlehem and there's going to be no room in the inn. Could have sent Gabriel ahead. Gabriel could have done one of those and all of a sudden, boom, there would have been in their own palace. But God had a purpose. There was something purposeful about why wasn't there room in the inn? Why being born in a sheep and cattle stall? Well, I think that our lives at times are filled with divine inconveniences. Maybe God wanted me to go to Dollar Store and just so in the midst of the chaos of that, I could represent him well. Don't know. Maybe the flat tire on Bottle Rock 3 weeks ago. I don't know. I wish life was simpler sometimes, don't you? But God says, Gary, I got this. Paul said, I've learned the secret of being content. In any and all circumstances, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This is what Joseph was modeling. He gives them two signs. Let me keep reading here. Same region there were shepherds staying in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. Angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terribly frightened. The angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all people. For today in the city of David there has been born, get this, for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. Two signs. I believe that these signs are given to us to let us know that God is approachable. God is approachable. The first has to do with his humanness, wrapped in cloth, or King James, swaddling clothes. Now, they would swaddle children. That means they would wrap you in cloth like a mummy. And for a child, it kept them warm, right? You're out in the barn with all the animals. It also made them feel secure because they're being just like being held and wrapped in something. But I think clearly it was a sign of his humanness. It tells us in Philippians chapter 2 that he would take on the very form of a human, would become a human being. Our first sign is a picture of a child no less feeble and helpless than any other baby born in the world. Jesus' royal privileges stopped at that very moment. Here's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, born in an insignificant town, surrounded by mom and dad and a bunch of animals. Ken Geyer, who is a great writer, here's what Ken Geyer, how he puts it. Where you would have expected angels, there were only flies. Where you would have expected heads of state, there were only donkeys. A few haltered cows, a nervous ball of sheep, a tethered camel, and a furtive scurry of curious mice. Except for Joseph, there was no one to share Mary's pain or her joy. Yes, there were angels announcing the Savior's arrival, but only to a band of blue-collared shepherds. And yes, a magnificent star shone in the sky to mark his birthplace, but only three foreigners bothered to look and follow it. Thus, in the little town of Bethlehem, that one silent night, the royal birth of God's Son tiptoed quietly by as the world slept. I grew up in Ukiah, and it was always big time. You know, go to the county fair. I always like to go then by the animal stalls. But you know what? They stink, you know. If they could get rid of that odor, then I would probably be into animals too. But it's something about it. I guess you have to get used to it. And I don't know if Mary and Joseph were used to it. They probably didn't have maybe they had animals. I don't know. But here's what I know. Is that Christ, who could have been born in a palace or all kinds of different ways, he entered the world humbly. Now, friends, why is that? And I'll tell you why. Because the greatest problem with mankind, the root of all sin, is pride. We somehow think we don't need God. We're too smart, too sophisticated. I don't need to go to church anymore. That's for the weak people, you know. And even though I'm a believer, you know, I'm so busy and God understands that. That's just nonsense. It's pride. So what did Jesus come to do? He came to destroy our foundational flaw of pride. And it tells us that in Philippians. He humbled himself. How are we supposed to live our lives? The Apostle Paul says, live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel. What's the first on the list? With all humility and gentleness and patience and forbearance. Doing all that you can do to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Friends, Jesus came to break the back of pride. He came to show us the way. And ultimately this is that the way is to humble ourselves before God. No man is so weak and helpless that God does not come to him in Jesus Christ, right in the midst of a human need. The other need was he was born in a manger. Could have been born in, you know, a great palace. But God says, no, we're going to come humbly. No man is so forsaken and homeless that in this world that God does not seek him in the midst of our human distress. He came for us. Lastly, with this, it says there was no room in the inn. And the inn here was really a series of inner courts. You'd have a house, and you'd come in. If you ever watch the movie, the original Ben-Hur, you kind of get a good picture there. Come in the gates, and then you have house, bottom floor, upper floor, and then there's like places in between, and there was just no place in the inn. And their place where people would store their animals, there was room there. And so, no room in the inn. It's interesting, it's kind of a touching prediction of what Christ is asking for all of us, is there, have we made room for him? Have we made room for him? Gabriel could have had a room set aside. He could have done a lot of things. But there was a no vacancy sign. I've been a Christian for over 40 years, and here's my greatest struggle. I don't know what yours is, but here's mine. I don't make enough room for Christ. I give him a little piece of the pie. I divvy out my day. I can have my day timer. I can put it on Google Calendar. But that's not what he wants from me. That's not what he wants from you either. He says, give him room. Abide with me. Abide in me. And if I look back over the last year of my life, last decade, last 40 years of my life, my greatest failing as a believer has been to compartmentalize Jesus. And he says, I deserve more than that. I bought you with a price. I came. And that's my plea, I think the plea this morning. In the year to come, that we would give him all the room he needs. Your time, your talent, your treasures. He wants your dreams. He wants your relationships. He deserves it. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. The Christ of glory, cradle in a manger, is God's object lesson to every sinner, that Christ will come to him if we make him room. God has built a bridge to us. Here's the frightening thing, is that in the reality, I understand that and I get it, and I've surrendered my life to Christ many, many decades ago. I'm committed to preach the good news of Christ and of how a person can find salvation. And I share it almost every Sunday, as simple as ABC. I accept the reality that I'm a sinner, and that my relationship with God is broken. It is by His call and His mercy and grace that only by that can I turn and have the strength to, it's called repentance. Then I believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What, do I believe in a little baby manger? Yeah, that's part of it. But I believe of what he did. He died on the cross for my sins. And he rose from the dead. I believe that. Then the Messiah came to give his life as a ransom for many. But even the devil knows that. He's not saved. Because he left out the last part, the ABC, the C is, we must confess him as Lord and Savior. And then keep walking with him. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God. So, January 1st, 1974, fell down in the front room of my house, cried out, Jesus, save me. I became a child of God. Not because I've got it all figured out. Not because I'm perfect. He's perfect. He allows me to wear his righteousness. He's forgiven me, not based upon anything I've done other than by grace we're saved through faith. God came, invaded history humbly. He died humbly. He came into the world with nothing. He was buried. He didn't even have a grave. But in the midst of that, he has given us life. And I pray that we celebrate that today. As you're opening presents, or maybe you don't have any presents to open. Well, you got the greatest one already, so celebrate with that. God so loved the world that he gave his son. A large God to a small people. It's my prayer that by this time next year, there's thousands of other people in Lake County that they've not only heard it, but they've seen it lived out in our lives, even through the challenges of life, that they would see the reality that Christ has come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love, your mercy towards us. Thank you, Lord, that you came that one holy night. And as a result of that, Lord, we ask you would help us to fall on our knees and worship you. And we thank you for these things in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to stand and we're going to sing together, "O Holy Night," just the first stand, just the first verse of it. And here we go. Stand together.
O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appears and the soul felt his worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoiceth, and yonder break the new and glorious morn. Fall on your knee, O hear the angel voices, O night divine, O night when Christ was born. O night divine, O night, O night divine, fall on your knees. O hear the angel voices, O night divine. Christ was born. O night divine, O night, O night divine.
Amen. You know that we have the solution to the problems of this world. We have the solution of peace and the solution of tranquility, the solution of joy. It's my prayer that as we leave this place and we celebrate tonight and tomorrow, that we would make all the room in our body, soul, and spirit that Christ demands, and that we would be filled up more with Him than ourselves. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the beauty of this day. Thank you, Lord, that the signs that you gave us were the signs of humility. Lord, you came with a purpose to give your life as a ransom for many. So, Lord, help us to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. Help us to celebrate Christmas well. And we pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and Merry Christmas.